Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
All right, remember you can tweet us at Kaya on Air is our handle. You can use the hashtag Kaya Biz. You can also WhatsApp us 063-688-0959 here on Kaya Biz on the street, on the air. Now, you may have read about these major vehicle recalls announced by Volkswagen, Volvo, and Toyota. Let's speak to Prudence Moelwa, the executive head at National Consumer Commission. Thank you so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening. Says Prudence, Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana, my apologies about that. We're speaking about the cars being recalled now. Just take us through what has happened with those three brands and what's the latest.
Yes, good evening to you and your listeners. Yes, the National Consumer Commission received recall notifications from VW, Volvo, as well as Toyota South Africa. The first recall is about the Golf 8. It's about 159 vehicles that are involved in this recall, wherein they need to fix the front passenger seatbelt of the Golf 8, wherein they found out that there was a problem with the sewing process. It looks like they were not able to, anchor it properly on the belt system. So it's not securely attached. So in the event of an accident, the seatbelt might not necessarily be able to protect the consumer as expected. So we are now saying to the owners of the Golf 8 that were sold between the 16th of April and the 30th of June this year to say, please, can you go back to VW and make sure that you check whether your VIN number, using your VIN number to check whether your vehicle is involved in this. The second one is the Volvo XC90. Mm-hmm. It concerns the plug-in hybrids, wherein I think that the issue is the braking system, the functionality there. They say that it may be temporarily disabled when you use a certain feature of the vehicles in the plug-in hybrids as well as in the pure electric vehicles. The other one that I think is of concern is the Hino 500 series. These big trucks, it's about 6,662 of them, where it's found in terms of what Toyota has said to the commission. They say that there is an incorrect cage bolt spanner which was supplied in those vehicles. And then the problem might be that when you operate the vehicle, it might not necessarily release the parking brake, and this would it was incorrectly supplied. This parts in terms of the bolt spanner, in terms of the description, was not correctly supplied. Therefore, they want to fix that problem. That's why they are saying that those Hino 500 series must be taken back. Those that were sold or made available for sale from the 11th of May 2017 to the 14th of December 2023 and from the 31st of May 2018 to the 25th of December 2024 respectively. Mm-hmm. So we urge the users of this vehicle to please get in touch with the dealerships and the retailers that are accredited so that you can then get your vehicles sorted out, because it's a safety concern.
Yeah. It's quite scary that when you buy a car, one of the things you assume is that it's going to take you safely from place A to place B, especially cars which run on the promise of safety like a Volvo. People are understandably worried. Who should have a little bit of concern and who should just carry on with their lives and forget about this recall?
Yeah. I think, consumers should now make it a practice to check with the dealerships, especially on their websites, just to test your VIN number against, that platform, to just check whether your vehicle might not be involved in a particular campaign of a recall, even if it's not a safety concern. because in certain instances, it might be that they want to maybe fix a quality concern as well. But you will only find this out if you maybe just log in your VIN number just to check if your vehicle is actually, you know, concerned. And I can say now that, you know, with the older vehicles, we do know that across the board, there was an issue with the Takata airbags. So even the drivers of the older vehicles, we would want them to just check if the vehicles that they're driving, it doesn't matter if they're not the ones who bought them, because we do understand that with older vehicles, vehicles might have exchanged hands. Just for you to punch in your VIN number to check if there is a campaign that is still open. Because from our perspective, we've said to all the OEMs, even with the ones that are older recalls, to say keep them open and make available the platforms for consumers to check. Because it's hardly ever a situation where we have all the vehicles coming in to be fixed. So that is why we want to encourage consumers in South Africa to start that kind of not just conversation, but to proactively check if your vehicle might not be part of a recall, even if it has happened years back, just to check if there might have been safety or quality concern that is still open for you to fix your vehicle for free.
But then, that was my question. What are you going to do if you see that? Can you go to any dealership? Does it have to be the dealership you bought the car from? What if you bought it secondhand?
Yeah, even if you bought it secondhand. I mean, they're very old vehicles where, you know, they're vehicles from even the 1900s, where you find that there was a concern that has not been necessarily fixed. Because even when we were looking at the data for especially the airbag recalls, we found that some of the recalls are standing at 16%. And these are recalls that we received way back in 2012, 2013, and they're still standing at 13%, which means the majority of the vehicles have not been fixed. And that is why we want to encourage this practice of really checking if you're driving it, the identification that they require is the vehicle itself. And that is why even now when we were talking to the OEMs, they were saying that they're struggling to even communicate through the RTMC, because people don't, even if they work through the RTMC, whenever you get communication from RTMC, you think it's traffic fines.
It's a fine and you're in trouble, yeah.
Yes, and you just try to ignore it, but it might really be worth your while to check those as well, because it might be a notification of one recall or the other of a vehicle that you are driving that might really save your life if you were to take it in to fix the safety features.
So, Prudence, I wonder if we can go back to these recalls, right?
Yeah.
If you've bought a car, it's quite expensive, I imagine, to buy a Golf 8. Now your seatbelt is not working. If you wanted to sell it on, what is that going to do? Do you have to also contact your insurance agency to say, I'm paying X amount, but now I found out there's a defect in my car. Can I get a discount? Do I have to pay more? What's the story?
No. Actually, you know, I think it's a phenomenon that is known all over the world, really, this thing of product recall. It's almost like taking something back for manufacturing, fixing. It's almost like when you have a vehicle that has a warranty and something is fixed in the vehicle, it doesn't affect the book value of the vehicle whatsoever, because the manufacturer is the one that will be fixing the vehicle with the original parts. So if you look at it from the perspective of just the value of the vehicle and also maybe your insurable interest in terms of how much it would cost you to insure it, in fact, it makes it even more attractive to have the original specs of the vehicle being fixed by the original manufacturer.
I see. What about the inconvenience that is caused to the consumer if I've bought a car at what I'm assuming is a decent price? Now there's a problem. I need to take my time out from my work. Consumer needs to take their time out from whatever they were doing to try and follow up on what's happening to implement these fixes, even if they're not paying for them. There's a time there. There's perhaps an emotional, I'm thinking of damages. I don't know if anyone will go the legal route. but there's something that's taken away from the consumer's time and energy by trying to fix a problem that they didn't cause. Is there compensation for that? Do we do that in South Africa?
Not exactly. I think the claim for damages, obviously, I think in terms of Section 61 of the Consumer Protection Act, where damage is caused by the actual product. Let's say, for example, vehicles that are now being recalled and the actual risk becomes real.
Yes.
Damages that one can claim are the ones arising from the actual fault of the vehicle in this regard. So the inconveniences we understand, but we want consumers to look at it within the context of saying, taking in your car for service, for example, it's something that is worth your while to make sure that your vehicle is in good condition. And also we don't want, because what the law then provides for is for suppliers to cover the cost of fixing the vehicle. And also the inconveniences, like what would happen when you go drop off your vehicle to make sure that you're taken back to work. It would be the same kind of process that is followed. So when you, for example, book in your vehicle at your convenience, you would then have to bring it back at your convenience, looking at your own schedule. So it's not like they're saying stop everything that you're doing. So you book it in, you take it in, of course, as soon as possible, because it's a safety concern. Yes. But we wouldn't want to associate bringing back the car, with the associated cost of saying, I missed work and stuff like that. So we want you to have a conversation with the service provider, book it in at your own convenience, take the necessary precautions where you can, but make sure that the car is fixed. I think the main purpose of a product recall is to ensure that the vehicles are fixed and consumers are driving vehicles that are safe.
Mm-hmm. There's also a massive reputational damage that's been done to these manufacturers, I would assume, because now there's a panic, even if it's limited to the models that you've described. Now people know that, your seatbelt didn't work in this Golf or this didn't work in the Volvo. Outside of that, are there any sanctions or dressing down by anybody to manufacturers? Or as you're saying, it's a part of what happens in the world. Mm. People see it, they go, this happened, and move on.
Other conversations that are going on with the OEMs, between the Commission and the OEMs, are concerns around the quality of vehicles on our roads.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think another thing that the Commission does in monitoring the product safety recalls is to make sure that there's no cutting of corners, number one, number two, and any type of negligence. And as you recall, I always will make an example of what happened with Ford recalls a couple of years ago. Because the reason why they were settled with such a heavy fine, what we then fought for as the National Consumer Commission, were just in terms of the process and some of the things that happened during the recall that we found were bordering on prohibited conduct. So and they now know, the conversation has been had with all of them to say that if you don't inform us in time, if you hide information, if you do not provide consumers what is due for them to them in terms of the CPA, we will come down with a view of, getting fines against you. We will prosecute you with a view of getting a hefty fine against you. So we want to work with them in order to make sure consumers are safe. But in that process, when we feel or we get a sense that, profits are put before the safety of consumers, that's when we then, come up with a mode of being punitive.
Yes. Can you tell me a little bit more about the National Consumer Commission, what you do, what powers you have?
The National Consumer Commission was established in terms of the Consumer Protection Act 68 of 2008. We started our work in 2011, wherein we were given the powers to protect consumers across the board. So each and every transaction in South Africa is subject, in the markets, is subject to the Consumer Protection Act, except where there is an exemption. And the exemption basis is based on where there is equal protection elsewhere within an industry specific kind of environment like the credit sector, because we've got the Credit Act and the National Credit Regulator and the labor issues and stuff like that, because there's already broadly, you know, a setup where there is a sort of protection that is tailor-made for those type of sectors. So across the board, the National Consumer Commission has a mandate to deal with everything that is sold in the market, contracts, products, and, you know, across the board, fast moving goods, anything that consumers pay for in the markets, we have a mandate to deal with them. And that is why sometimes you hear us talking about expired foods, wherein we prosecute for, you know, prohibited conduct in, you know, there was a recent case that we in a couple of weeks ago, the Drum Through. I don't know if you were aware of that competition that was ran through television where, you know, the brides joined a competition. And they were told it was, or they thought it was a competition wherein they were winning a prize wherein the wedding would be covered on TV, only to find that they said that it was just for a television program. Those people were fined $250,000, and they were ordered to pay back all the participants of that show. So we went and prosecuted that. There's like various other, you know, other, you know, it's literally in terms of the consumer product, very broad what it covers, but it's, it anchors on the, you know, fairness in the markets where in consumers are treated safely. You know, the safety of products and also the dealings with consumers that are fair. So we get involved in all those things to make sure that consumers are safe. As I've said, we are now, you know, conducting inspections following that issue of unsafe products being sold wherein there were deaths in, you know, following the sale of certain products. So it's those kind of things across the board wherein consumers are treated unfairly. We also managed to get a fine of about R1 million against Vodacom, I think it was last year, where they were fined for cancellation penalties. They were charging consumers the 75% cancellation penalty that they were charging consumers. We also got a win for them to change their contract to stop charging consumers, set up percentages when they cancel, and so on and so forth. So we deal with basically anything that affects consumers and treats them, and where consumers are not treated fairly in the marketplace. So basically it anchors on consumer rights, you know, safety, information, you know, cancellation of contracts, fair contract terms, you know, disclosure of information, you know, a vast, you know, number of issues that the consumer protection empowers the commission to deal with. So we deal with all those things. That's where the National Consumer Commission comes in to investigate and make sure that we prosecute matters at the National Consumer Tribunal and assessing on investigation, asking for a steep fine wherein, you know, there is continuous conduct or where a lot of consumers are concerned.
Okay, so if someone is listening and says, you know what, now that I know where to go and I've got a complaint, what's the process at the National Consumer Commission if you feel that there's something unfair or any of those terms that you've spoken about and you would like to deal with it?
Yeah, so in terms of the service delivery model, we would like consumers to actually raise the issue first with the retailer, so that the retailer is aware that actually you are unhappy with the way that the issue has been handled. Let's say, for example, you enter a store, you buy products that are unsafe or are of a certain quality that is not in terms of the Consumer Protection Act. Let them know, try to resolve the matter at the shop floor. And another thing that we have done is there is now an established consumer goods and services ombudsman that deals with fast-moving goods, wherein that platform, together with the motor industry ombudsman, wherein consumers, after the shop owner refuses to give you redress. You can then take it up with the ombudsman, fast moving goods ombudsman, or the motor industry ombudsman. In the event where, because the platforms are meant to assist with, alternate dispute resolution, wherein, you know, the parties through conciliation or mediation can then come to a conclusion. In the event where it fails, wherein the supplier digs in their heels, that's when we then get involved National Consumer Commission to say, we investigate with a view of now getting punitive measures against the supplier, where we can be able to demonstrate that the consumer tried to resolve this matter with the retailer, still did not come right. The consumer tried, or the ombuds schemes tried to resolve these matters, and then they still were not coming right. Then the National Consumer Commission can get involved with a view of, you know, coming up with punitive measures. So it's that service delivery model that is there in the country for consumers. There are also provincial offices, you know, that are established in terms of provincial legislation that also can provide, you know, within certain provinces, locally in the provinces, you know, some form of redress for consumers. So consumers in South Africa are actually protected vastly, you know, with all those entities that are meant to then assist the consumers, because the recognition is there, even in the Consumer Protection Act, that there is a power imbalance between the power imbalance between consumers and the suppliers of products in the market. So that's where we then come in to, you know, assist with the power balance, to come in and stand up for consumers and advocate for consumer rights in the marketplace.
You do a lot outside of that.
So I'm looking at the list here.
Conducting investigations against suppliers, issuing and enforcing compliance notices, negotiating and concluding undertakings and consent orders, referring any concerns regarding market share, anti-competitive behavior or conduct that may be prohibited in terms of the Competition Act to the Competition Commission. We're not going to spend the whole show reading what you do, because it's a lot.
What I like about South African consumers, immediately when there is a problem of any kind, to say, hey, there's a problem with peanut, but what is the National Consumer Commission doing about this? And I think it shows that, you know, consumers do have confidence in the National Consumer Commission. So South African consumers have really also called us out where we then maybe take too long to resolve certain things. And that is why we're always striving to improve our services, extend our reach, and make sure that consumers are protected.
All right. Thank you so much, Ms. Prudence Moelwa, Executive Head at the National Consumer Commission. Really good to have you on Kaya Biz with us this evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us.
All right. Pamela Mutene is in the studio in just a moment. We're going to find out what's coming up on Point of View.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.